This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We'll see how this goes. Because I was going to like do a game, but I was like, I'll make the game up as I go along.
Oh.
Like the game of life.
Are we not already in a game?
We're in a game. We're in a simulation. We're all. Did you hear that NASA found.
This is immediate excitement.
Honestly, yes.
Did we start? Are we going?
Not quite yet.
Okay.
But I am starting my rant on how cool this is.
Okay.
NASA found really high energy particles somewhere in the world that would like prove that there's a parallel universe with reverse time. And the news is not covering it.
I mean, baby steps. They've only just like confirmed that UFOs are real.
Yeah.
And then there was a whole conspiracy about like, oh, funny that this is coming out now when right. Nobody's paying attention to
totally
stuff like that. You know, I only just found out during quarantine actually that Pluto is not a planet.
You just found that out?
Yeah, I don't remember when they
got kicked off the roster years ago.
I did it. Where was I? Not in school. But it's like, it like makes me so sad because like nine planets sounds like, okay, don't get me wrong.
I can't wait to hear where this goes.
It's so stupid. Eight is my favorite number. So you would think that I'd be like, cool, eight planets. But I just keep thinking about like, you know, did you ever have to like create the solar system as like your science project in elementary school?
Probably.
Like nine is just such a good number for something that's spherical. When it's eight, like it.
I agree. It's no longer
because when fluid. You just think, and when you think about like this rotating galaxy, solar system of planets,
this is the universe pitching its idea to create the solar system. I just think, like after two glasses of rosé, he's like, just hear me out. It's a lot of big circles in space.
But think about it too, aesthetically speaking, like all you have are these like big planets, and like Pluto is this like tiny little thing. It just kind of balanced the scale of like,
it was a runt.
These massive planets. Yeah.
Yeah.
The runt ones are always so cute.
It's so sad. Nine, any odd number actually is really good for plating. That's a tip that I've learned watching master classes.
You know, today I started a game and I was like, let's all like look at our YouTube history, recent YouTube history. Literally mine was plant videos, Mad Fit workout videos.
Same.
And then Harry Styles.
Just that. Just Harry Styles.
Yeah. Those are the only three things in my feed.
Well, mine's
like,
probably like
10 videos.
Eco-friendly and like how to compost stuff.
It's like, what are we all looking up while we're in quarantine?
What are we all looking up? Yeah, that's right? Fascinating.
It's fun times.
I think my Google search history is probably worse than my YouTube history.
I don't even want to know what I've been looking up.
I think the last thing I searched besides outdoor bistro table was, how do you know if you have a impulsive shopping disorder? Like, I think I might have an issue, but that's okay.
Well, I think you rubbed off on me because there has not been a day that has gone by that I haven't bought something on Amazon.
Oh, no. It's so backwards because I'm like, how do I become more eco-friendly? And it's like, stop ordering so many goddamn packages.
Oh, yeah. Amazon's not the best with that, huh? They are doing something, though, where I think like they'll give you a discount if you're like, I don't need this right away, so you can ship all my things on Wednesdays.
Right.
And so they condense everything into, like, less boxes, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a big pile of boxes that were just piling up there in the corner of my dining room. It's like no one's coming over, so.
Right.
I mean, I don't need to throw this out anytime soon. I'm not embarrassed about it.
You could use the company at this point.
Like, makes me feel like I did do something during quarantine.
Right. You have something to show for it. This big ass pile of boxes.
Yes. I've never spent so much time on Amazon. And I'm getting weird things now.
What's the weirdest thing you've bought lately?
Well, the plastic squeegee bottles.
That's not weird. You're super into forestry. What do you call it?
I'm going to call it forestry now.
What are you calling it? Plant having? Well,
I mean, I've just been saying
green thumb area.
Yeah, but I've been calling myself the green queen.
Corn queen.
Oh no, I'm gonna have to change it again. I thought I was clever with green queen, but now green corn queen.
It's so much.
I sound like I'm drunk. I'm the green corn queen.
It does. Okay, let's begin. Now that the listeners have that.
That was the prequel.
In their ear holes. Yeah, because we're about to like really switch gears here. Welcome to another episode of Just a Tip and a Podcast and a Podcast. It's a podcast. We are coming live, not live. We are alive from my couch. I should retake this, but the thing about podcasts is this is what it is, baby. This is unfiltered, unabridged, unedited until I edit it. Welcome to another episode of Just a Tip. It's usually a podcast that's equally about its tangents as it is about its tips. And maybe it will also be that for this episode, but usually there's some structure. Today, Amanda Suk is here. She's been on the podcast twice already, I think. Hootie frickin' who. You've also done a live podcast.
Oh yeah, that was so fun. Pittsburgh.
And now we are here doing, I guess, like the next iteration of a return guest. This time we're just going to talk thematically, and Amanda and I talk day in, day out, almost every day, all day.
Those are a lot of days.
Oh, and at this point, they're all the same day because quarantine life is just, this is part of the cosmos as well. It's nebulous. You can't hold it. It's just one long life. This is our new life. And in our new life, social media plays a big part, and that is my segue into telling you that this episode is going to be about jealousy and comparison. Because I feel like you and I talk so much about deep concepts. This is not a deep concept. We do talk a lot about concepts, and I think jealousy and comparison is one that's been coming up. It's been peppered in our life of living together and living apart for quite some time. Like, even when we were roommates, and now that we are not, like, it still comes up. And I'll start with this.
I'm still stuck on equally about tangents as it is about tips. And I was like, wow, that's a good brand line.
Cool. Thank you.
Tangents and tips.
Tips and tangents. Yeah.
It's another new podcast.
It's this one. That's just this pod. But I feel like jealousy and comparison is something that we're going to be dealing with for the rest of our lives. Do you think that anyone is not jealous at all?
I think people can be not jealous people, but I think there will always be moments of jealousy, I'm going to steal your word, peppered throughout our life.
Yeah. I don't think there's a end to it. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine about Saturn return, and I've talked about it on this podcast before too. Quickest way to say Saturn return is every 30 years, Saturn returns back to the same place that it was when you were born. So it's basically reshuffling the deck to where it allows you to steer into the direction that you want to go with your life. So around 27 to 30, you have like this huge upheaval and exodus of all the negativity or toxicity in your life. And then you can go on to doing what is meant for you.
I'm trying to think if that's true for my life.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, like big, just so. Big changes, whether that's career or relationship or familial or with yourself.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you know what my theory is on 26, so, or 25, 26.
Oh my God, 25, 26. Let's talk about it.
25, 26. My theory on 25, 26 is like, I know people would be like, yeah, quarter life crisis, but it's specifically from 25 to 26. Anywhere in that span. I found this to be more true in females, but you know, guys, maybe this applies to you too, but there's always like a seismic shift in a young girl's life around that time where a big decision is made. Like a lot of girls I know that were in long-term relationships, and I mean like 2-3 years plus, have this like epiphany where there are things that they want to do differently in their life, and that includes getting out of a relationship, not necessarily because something horrible per se happened, but because I think there's a greater calling that is tugging at them, and it's making them want to find this new independence.
Yeah.
But it's so specific to that age. And, you know, for me, like, I wasn't dating anyone when I was 25, 26, but I was very married to my work at the time, my job then. And after having been there for 3 years running this studio, I was like, I'm not doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing with my life. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard to say goodbye, but I said goodbye. Then I went into my late 20s, and that was a lot of figuring out which direction I wanted to be going in. And now here we are. So maybe I've had my Saturn return.
Yeah, I think that it definitely happened for me at 25. But I feel like it's like you're finally understanding the gravitas of how you've been living and if it's the right way to go. Mm. It's almost like I was reading this book, and it was like, when Native Americans back in the day were making a decision, they would think 7 generations ahead. Have you seen, there's like a little dishwashing soap called Seven Generations?
Yeah.
I think that's what it's made from. I think their whole thing, this is literally just because I read one sentence in a book and my brain was like, this is how it all makes sense. I think that that brand is saying, we have really clean, eco-friendly products so that 7 generations from now we'll have a better world than today if you buy our product. That's what I think it means, because they are thinking ahead. Like Native American 7-generation mindset is like, how will this decision affect not only the next generation, but 7 ones from now on?
Future generations. I mean, that's a difficult concept for my brain to wrap around because I can barely think about what to do tomorrow.
Right. But I mean, like, I think when you're 25, 26, you're starting to think 7 generations. And your 7 generations could be 5 years.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I've had a rebirth of that mindset because lately I've been thinking about, are we just starting on tangents?
Yep. Not what?
But I've recently been thinking more about, perhaps it's birthed from the quarantine time, but like, what contribution am I really making to this world?
I was thinking that too. I was thinking that with my content. Like, I just did this hula hoop video, which is, it's all just fun, but I think people need fun in quarantine right now. But at the same time, I'm like, how is this helping? And maybe it is helping with people having a better time or like not feeling so alone. But I'm like, could I be doing something that's a little bit more educational? Maybe. And I can, like, I can also pepper those in. My question to you is, is this something that you were thinking about for a long time, or is it like just a one-time thing? And you're like, oh, today I didn't help. And then you think that you consistently never help.
I think it was a general awakening of the state I was in, not one specific moment or one specific thing or one specific day where I was like, oh, I did nothing useful today. The day that I had this epiphany, I remember I was thinking a lot about acting, and the last 4 years of my life have been me obsessed with pursuing acting and how to navigate that industry and how to get auditions and get jobs and get to tell great stories, which I do think entertainment is important to this world. It is escapism as much as it is a way to bond, being able to feel seen and empathized with, to relate to something. Like, all those things are wonderful feelings. But at the same time, I was like, I think I just started wondering, those things aren't completely in my control. So when I think about the things that are in my control, am I using any of those things to really, again, contribute anything to this world and have like a longer lasting effect than, you know, like a 1.5-hour film?
Yeah.
That's going to get thrown away on DVD.
Right. Yeah, that's a really fascinating concept that I've been toying with too.
Well, before you say what you're going to say, I do want to say that your content, I mean, you kind of already said that it can be a mix of things, but I don't think it needs to be exclusively one thing or another, because the ones where it is maybe a little bit more lighthearted, are just as important as like maybe the educational ones. But I think it's, you also have to look at the deeper thing. Like, I mean, again, to bring up the hula hoop video, I've been telling Megan for weeks now that it's been my favorite thing.
You love this video and it really makes me so happy.
But I think it's the deeper meaning behind it. And I know you didn't necessarily make it with this deeper meaning behind it. But when I look at it, I look at someone who literally took something they had no idea how to do and took time every day to practice it and then got this end result. It wasn't like, oh, I just picked it up and figured it out, or like picked it up and I was naturally good at it. No, like you took something you did not know how to do. You put in the work. You were very disciplined about it, because I remember you would tell me like you spent X amount of time outside today.
2 hours usually.
You know, working on hula hooping. Yeah. And it's, that to me is like, at just as much as it was lighthearted and fun to watch and it will make people smile, it's also the fact that like we're capable human beings.
Yeah.
We have to be focused and disciplined enough to put in the work to do it. Like if I sat there and spent 2 hours trying to learn a new language every day, I would know another language right now, but I just haven't put in the work yet.
Yeah.
I think about it and I think it's a novel idea, but I just haven't done the work. And so you see this video and it's like, yeah, you can do it. You just need to focus.
I think that goes for everything though. Like weight loss or learning a new skill or therapy or inner work. It's just actually doing the work. And a lot of times it's not as hard as it seems. Maybe it's scary for sure, but it's not very hard. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today about losing weight. We've both lost a little bit of weight and really all we've done is clean up our diet and walk a ton. And walking is not hard if you're lucky enough to be able to do it. All you need to do is go outside and do it. And that's it. It's just being consistent. There's that saying that's like, hard work beats talent when talent fails to work hard. And it's true. Like some of the most successful people are not the most talented. They're just the most...
they're the hardest working.
Consistent. Yeah, they just haven't stopped. They've believed in themselves enough to keep going. And that's what I think it is. It's like, do you believe in yourself enough for this?
Yeah.
Do you want this? Do you like yourself enough to put in the work for it?
I mean, if we want to loop it around back to the original topic of
let's do it.
Jealousy and
this.
Comparison, it's so funny because, you know, again, I'll look at this hula hoop. How many times am I gonna reference this hula hoop video? But like, I look at the hula hoop video, and it's kind of hard not to be jealous that like it only took you 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, I know it sounds stupid for me to say, but then at the same time, like, what am I jealous of? Because we have the same kind of starting point, you know? Like, the only thing you did differently is you bought the correct hula hoop. I mean, we all have time right now. Like, I have 2 hours a day to practice if I wanted to. Like, the only thing different was the mindset. It's so funny that I sat there being like, why can't I do things like this? But you can.
Yeah.
It just depends on what you want and how much of it you want.
And how bad you
or
want
how
it.
How bad you want it, yeah.
I think it always comes down to that. I mean, that's like a big thing. Like, how bad you want it, right? Do people say that?
I think so. Like, I mean, I've always been told, like, if you want something bad enough, you'll do whatever it takes to get it.
Slytherin mentality.
Yeah, I guess so.
I've been watching a lot of Harry Potter lately.
I support it. I love Harry Potter. But, like, that's the thing, because I'm not necessarily lacking anything. I mean, I can buy the hula hoop. The only thing I was lacking was just the motivation. But, like, that doesn't mean I don't have it. I have to get up and do it. It's just like any other thing. Like you said, with walking, you just have to get up and do it a lot of times. And I don't know why so often in my life I'll sit there being like, I wish this or I wish that. But I'm not lacking those things. Do I really want it badly enough?
Yeah.
I think that's what I have to start questioning.
I had a friend tell me a couple years ago that I said that I wish I had things a lot. Like I would see some girl speaking French and I'd be like, I wish I could speak French. Or I would see someone do improv comedy and I'd be like, I wish I could do improv comedy. And she was like, you say you wish for things a lot and I would love to see you own up to what you can do, or if you really want to, then to do them. And I'm like, yeah. I just had no, especially with comedy, like I had no confidence in it. And I was like, yeah, I wish I could be outgoing. I wish I could meet people.
I wonder how much I say that too. We should all question ourselves and do a deep dive to see how much we are saying we wish for something.
Right. And like, I feel like when you say you wish, it's because you think you lack it and that you can't have it.
For me personally, I think it's actually me saying it because I'm wishing for things that don't come easily for me. And so I just don't want to put in the work to do it.
And maybe that's the same with me being more outgoing.
Like you could, but you just, it's not, it just doesn't come easy. I don't know if it's necessary that it's out of reach. I'm just not born with it, or it's just not easy, but that doesn't mean you can't learn that skill as well. Like you learning to be more outgoing can happen just as you learn a hula hoop skill.
Right. It's just a matter of making the decision to do it and then following through.
Yeah. You may not like it.
Yeah, I don't think I would like it.
But that's a whole different thing. Because, like, I know for me, I don't love being outgoing, but I know I can turn it on when I need to.
Yeah. I think, like, when I... This is definitely turning it all the way back to jealousy and comparison. When I see some of my friends or just some other people be able to strike up a conversation with a stranger and then just instantly become best friends or, like, instantly be magnetized, it's like, ah, like, why can't I do that? And I think it's so easy to compare ourselves, especially with social media, of like, why not me? Why can't I? I remember liking this guy so much and he ended up being with somebody else. And every time this happens, we ask ourselves, what does she have that I don't have? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that the other day and trying to like twist it in a better way of like, don't think that, but think of all the good things that you have. But it's like, that's not helpful. That's just like a nice thing to say. When we think about that question, what does she have that I don't have? I think the main toxic part about it is that we're focused on two wrong things. We're focused on somebody else. And the second is coming from a place of lacking or scarcity. So those two things right there are already negative by themselves, but put together is a combination for disaster. Maybe it is a mindset shift of like, what do I have that I love? But the question still stands, like that doesn't help.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? As nice as that sounds, it's not helping anything. How do we, if we want to start like contributing, how can we help someone that's thinking that now? Like, how can we help someone that's comparing themselves to somebody else and like sizing them up? The thing, I think I said this to you a while ago. I remember exactly where I was. I was at a test shoot for a show and there was like a bunch of other hosts and everybody was way more outgoing than me. I was sizing myself up against them. And I wrote in my journal later that day that as soon as you rank yourself amongst other people, you've already lost.
I remember when you tweeted that too, even.
I probably did.
Possibly.
My journal ends up on Twitter all the time. Just quick little excerpts.
I do remember you saying that though. And it's a weird never-ending blanket of emotions and feelings, because even going back to the whole scenario of liking someone and then them ending up with someone else, I mean, there's so much mixed into that beyond just jealousy. But see, like now we're getting into, I think, like a not so clear-cut discussion topic, because I think when we struggle with things like jealousy, I mean, we've talked about this before, like the whole scarcity mindset, thinking we lack stuff. And I know it doesn't necessarily help to think about all the things that we do have. But I think that is important, because I think if we lose sight of what makes us us, like having that confidence in what our identity is, then you kind of start to see that it wasn't you per se. Like, I mean, because you are so confident in your identity, like, that might be why the person that you're interested in is not ready to be with someone like you. Not because you are lacking, but because you are so abundant that they then are possibly jealous of all the things that you have. Like, we all have such weird, skewed perceptions of ourselves and each other. Like, I used to always wonder, I wish I could see myself the way other people saw me. So I did this thing.
I was just going to bring it up.
Yeah, where I asked, like, 5 or 6 of my closest friends what they thought my strengths were. I know what I think my strengths are, but I was just so curious how other people saw me as well. And then I did this word map to see what were the most common repeated words.
Yeah.
And I was just so fascinated because the whole practice behind doing that was because I wanted to see if I was using those repeated words and owning up to those things and then using those strengths then to be what I lay my contributions on. Like that would be my foundation. But the reason why I say it's like this never ending blanket is because we'll never really get to see how other people see us. And so this is just like a constant flux of, again, emotions, because as much as like we try to take control of our thoughts and have power over our thoughts, yeah, we can be consistent, but we're always going to have those days or moments where we just kind of slip into that black hole again. But I think there is always a way out. It's just funny because jealousy is such a dangerous hole to fall into. And then I think, of course, like the longer we stay in that hole, the more we lose sight of who we are and how much we do own in our identity, then that's when we do become that jealous person, as opposed to just having moments of jealousy.
Yeah, because we start to lose sight of the value that we bring.
Yeah. And I think like the reason we kind of wanted to talk about jealousy in comparison is because I think especially in this time of quarantine where we are a little bit more confined, I think you can fall in kind of two categories. Either you're spending so much time on your computer, on screen, on the internet, on social media, that you're only dealt these cards of comparison because of how much you're consuming and seeing, versus the other flip side where you kind of take this time to then work on all the things that you never really had time for before, like your house or your health or anything that you might have been putting off. And I think I kind of started to slip into this period of time where I was just constantly seeing other people through social media. And I felt myself becoming a jealous person.
Well, yeah, even
as opposed to moments of jealousy.
Totally. I think that the people that are sharing, if they are being hyperactive, I guess, like the people that are doing all those things that you just mentioned. And if you're not at that one point in time, then you're like, oh my God, like, because we do all have the same amount of time, but we don't have the same amount, or we don't have the same elements, we don't have the same circumstances. So seeing someone do a million things and then you feeling bad because you're not doing those things, you guys are different people. We don't want the same things. And like, we are doing what, I think we're doing what we want for the most part during quarantine.
I mean, I'll piggyback on that though, because something you said is really important. It's like, your circumstances are different, but also so might your priorities and your wants. Like, that's huge. And I have to realize, like, going back to the whole I wish mentality, like, yeah, I can wish certain things, but like, again, if I wanted it badly enough, I would do it. Like, I wished I had like a nicer place, and I've been wishing that for so long. It just wasn't high up on my priority, but now I kind of have time, and thankfully, I'm in a better place financially to be able to invest in these things now. And so now it has moved up on my priority list, and I am doing it now, you know? And so it is a matter of just like, our wants are different as people. So yeah, we can sit there and say, oh, I wish this or this that I want to have because I saw someone else have it. I mean, do you really want it? Like, you really want it that badly?
That's the worst way to want something is just because somebody else has it. I think that we've been so used to that mentality for so long. If we see some person wearing something that looks amazing on them and we're like, I want that because they look amazing in it, and then you try it on and it looks god awful, it's like, then okay, then don't buy it. I think I've done this before too. It's like, oh, I don't care if it looks bad on me. I like it because it looked good on them. And if they look like that in it, then I want to wear it. And it's like, at some point you have to ask yourself, like, exactly what you said, do I really want this? Does this suit me? Does this make me feel better? And I think wrapping that back to jealousy, like, if it doesn't make you feel better, don't look at it. Yeah. Like, limit your social media intake, or like unfollow the people that you feel jealous about, or mute them at least if you don't want to unfollow them. I did that not too long ago. I remember one time I went into my session and I told my therapist, I was like, I'm having a lot of jealousy around this one creator because I think she does her thing so well. And my therapist was like, well, do you do that? And I'm like, well, I do that. That's one of 10 things that I do. And then she was like, say that again. Like, you do 10 more things than this girl that does the one thing very well. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, give yourself a break. Like, you're comparing 1/10 of you to 100% of them. Mm-hmm. You have so much more than what you're giving yourself credit for. You're comparing this one thing that you kind of do, and maybe you aren't the best at it because you do so many other things, to this person's final product and their everything. And not to discredit her at all, she's an incredible creator. But at the same time, it's like, we're different people. We have different everythings. Mm-hmm. So if you're jealous about this girl, stop watching her. And I was like, well, she's a good creator and I can learn from her. I can learn from her editing style. I can learn from her humor. I can learn from her actual educational material. I don't even remember what she said. I think she was just like, does it make you feel good? And I was like, nope. She was like, get her out. I was like, cool. You can learn from other people. You can learn from other things. You can learn from books that you don't compare yourself with. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like there's ways that we can get out of these holes and we can get the same materials in a different form. Like, if you follow an influencer or a fashion girl because you like the way that they dress, learn what that style is and just Google it, or like read a book on it. Get away from people that you can compare yourself with too much. I don't know. Maybe that's easier. I don't know.
Easier said than done.
Well, it's like, what if you consistently compare yourself with someone that you love? That would be harder, right?
I mean, not to get super personal, but like, to get real, that while we lived with each other, got to that point. I mean, and I was fully aware that we're two different people, but at the same time, it became such a in your face, like, look at this girl go. And then I felt like my steps were so baby in comparison. Mm. And, you know, there's the word, like, why even am I comparing? Because we're pursuing two completely different things. But, you know, in all the years that we lived with each other, I didn't love you any less, but it did definitely get difficult, because instead of, I think, learning from it and being motivated by it, like, older me now, I think, is motivated by your strengths. But I think back then, when I was a little bit younger and more naive, it was so frustrating because I didn't know what else I could do differently at the time. In hindsight, though, I'm like, well, was I really working all that hard? I think I wasn't doing just the one thing of acting, just like a little all over the place. And at the time, I was like, yeah, go wherever the wind takes me, free flowing. And I think my passions were strong for these things I was doing, but my work ethic wasn't necessarily strong for what I was doing. So the easier thing to do was sit and complain and be like, look at this girl who is younger than me. And I kept thinking of these scenarios of like, I remember when you first moved to LA and I was the one kind of like introducing you to people. And then like fast forward 4 years later, we're about to not live with each other anymore. It was like 5 years or something. And she's like already got her own place and she's got her own car and she's got like such nice things. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, she excelled so quickly. Whereas like, I've been here in LA a few more years than she has, but I kind of feel like I'm still in the same place. But like, what am I jealous of? Because we didn't have the same circumstances. We didn't put in the same amount of work. It wasn't like, oh, I did just as much as you, and then you just got dealt better cards.
Yeah.
No, I didn't put in the same amount of work, if I'm real with myself. So that was just like a hard pill I had to chew. And swallow.
You chew your pill?
Sorry, hard. What's the saying? What's the phrase? Hard pill I had to swallow.
How is your health? Are you okay?
But like, that was a huge turning point for me, because I think it was one of the first like real tangible things that I experienced with jealousy, and then kind of had to deal with it head on, because I think I could have allowed it for it to build some kind of resentment out of nothing. That was only something I was creating on my own end, or I could address it. And you being someone that I love and being my closest friend, share, and you helped me through that. Like, you understood that. And so, like, let's figure this out together. It's scary. It's two-sided, because on one side's party, you have to be willing and brave enough to make the confrontation happen and, absolutely, like, address it, which was so scary to admit that you're jealous of someone, especially someone you're super close with. And then for the other party to like be willing and understanding and be there to listen and accept that person for where they're at.
But I think even before it comes to the confrontation, it starts with the bravery and strength that it takes the person that's jealous to be honest with themselves enough to admit their jealousy to themselves.
Yeah.
First.
And naming it. Yeah, for sure.
And then being able to go to someone, and that's when it becomes situational on what is your relationship with the close people around you.
Yeah.
Because if we both weren't in a mindset of like, unconditionally loving each other, then it might have been hard, but we cared about each other and understanding. But it definitely comes down to you figuring it out for yourself first. Yeah.
And being able to call yourself out on it, for sure. Because, like, even recently, in talking about struggling with jealousy again, I think for a period of time, I was in such denial. Like, I didn't want to admit that it was jealousy because I was like, I've been there. I've done that. I don't want to be that person again. So it just, like, for the longest time, was like, no, I'm not jealous. I'm upset, but I'll get over it. Like, no, like, you're jealous. Like, call it out and then figure out, like, what the root of it is. But
yes, yeah, the only way. Root.
Yeah, and the only way you can do that, again, first is like call yourself out on it, you know?
Absolutely.
Don't just be like, all right, cool, I'm jealous. Like, no, like figure out what the root is and like see if there's something you can do about it.
Yeah. Naming the jealousy is the starting line. That's where you begin. If you go, oh, I'm jealous, and that's like the biggest Mount Everest, and you go, okay, I'm tired, I'm never going to climb a mountain again. You haven't even laced your shoes yet.
Yeah.
As soon as you tell yourself you're jealous, you're ready for the hike, you are ready for the summit. Strap in. And that's doing the work again.
I'm just staring at you wondering where all these metaphors are coming from.
Like, I've never hiked a mountain in my life. Like, where?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I always ask you to hike and you're like, I don't like hiking.
I literally hate it.
So I'm like, well, what is this hiking metaphor?
It's the worst exercise there is.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
There's a Cute Is What We Aim For song that has a lyric in there that says jealousy is the cousin of greed. And I think it's like, we just want more. We as humans are just like, we want more. We want everything. We want it to be free. We want it to be easy. And so when we see somebody else excelling in something, it's like, well, they have it easier than I do, or they're getting everything. And like, I want some of it.
We're almost like self-sabotaging and just constantly unable to see that we do have enough.
It's the scarcity mindset. Ugh. I wonder if everyone has it or not.
I don't know. I don't know if it's like a universal thing, but I think it is definitely a common thing that it is a common struggle. It's so easy to dwell on lack and dwell on negativity. I think I've talked about this before, like the whole mindset of how I think it only takes like 6 seconds for like the negative things to stick and like twice as long for the positive things to stick in our memories. So it's easy and quick for us to recall negativity in our lives. So you have to physically put in more work to recall the positive things.
Do you think from a caveman standpoint, I guess, our brains and bodies have like hardly gotten better? You know how technology gets crazy every year and they say like the rise in technology is astronomical? I feel like our brain and body hardware hasn't been updated since we created the wheel. Like, you know, we barely can do anything new. But I think that all of this is inherently embedded in us in order to feel these threats. I guess I'm going to call negativity threats. So maybe that's why we can ingrain them so quickly, is because we are trying to warn off harm and threat. That's why something sticks so easily if it's negative. Mm-hmm. Because when we touch something and it burns us, we know not to touch it again.
Right.
When something harms us, we learn quicker because we don't want to feel pain. And so it's easy for us to...
Like survivalist.
Yeah. Mentality. So when something negative happens, we remember it harder so that we don't get hurt. We're basically trying to arm ourselves to never feel bad.
That makes sense. But again, I think I don't know if this is a thing that keeps getting passed down. And so then the way we think or function, then we pass that down. Because you bring up cavemen, I think about the Bible and you have generations and generations of these historical stories that continue to apply to us to this day. Well, why is that? Has our mindset not evolved then since thousands of years ago? And there is a reason for a large majority of the world that there's still so much relatability to these stories we read about in something like the Bible. Our mindsets haven't changed. Our struggles have not changed as humans. Jealousy has, how long has that existed in this world? And I don't know if that's necessarily something that can evolve.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's with any type of community or any type you're in a group, it's all relationship based. So jealousy and comparison and love and hate, these are all things that are inevitable when you're around others. So in the Bible, you have all these relationships because there's so many people in this small community that of course there's going to be people that betray. Of course there's going to be people that form alliances and team up, and there's going to be teamwork and help. And these are just things that I don't think can go away as long as there are relationships.
I mean, not to get all spiritual, but the very first story that takes place in the Bible with humans is the fact that this serpent, this, devil, is the first thing to make us humans consider that we lacked anything. If you think about the snake telling Adam and Eve, hey, if you take a bite from this apple, you'll know everything. So that's already the first planted seed that, you don't know everything. You don't have everything. So from day one as humans, it's been passed down that we lack something, that we lack things.
Yeah.
And so I don't know where I'm going with that.
From an animal, no less. Snakes aren't even sentient. How are we listening to this freaking snake?
Yeah, when we think about scarcity mindset, we think that we don't have as much as someone else or something else.
Yeah.
That there is more to gain. That is something that has been a part of history for forever.
That's
and
the
so
other
is,
thing.
Can it change?
Right. I think no. But, I think you can deal with it better. But yeah. I think it'll always be there. But at the same time, why do we want it all? You just saying it's like you didn't have it. Why do we want it? We don't need everything, honestly.
True. We're constantly detoxing things out of our lives.
Right. We don't need it all. And I think that's the same thing with the apple as it is in the makeup industry, is one of the most lucrative businesses in the entire economy for years and years, and will continue to be. Because not even to go into the social constructs of what people should look like or what the ideal beauty is. But if you buy this, then you will feel this. Or if you buy this, then you will look this. It's like, well, why are we not enough right now? Why do we need this product? Why do we need this product to feel like something we already are inherently?
Yeah, any better about ourselves. It just goes back to the question of why do you need it all? You don't need it all.
You don't
need
it all.
You want it all, but will that really service you? And then it also makes me think about just how much stuff we're actually able to get rid of and still be fine and functioning and happier, even when we can realize we don't need to keep. And I'm such a hoarder, so it's I feel I need to have everything now. And honestly, it's actually kind of gotten better, my whole relationship with acting and feeling I need all the jobs right now. I think I am finally at a much healthier place with it, which I'm very happy about. Of course, I still have this big dream, and there are still things that I for sure want to achieve and I'm still pursuing, but does it take up all the real estate in my mind? No, because it's that mentality of wanting it all and wanting it now.
It's the Donald Glover phenomenon is what I'm going to call it. Because he can
explain this.
He does so many things, but he's never done it all at once.
Oh, yeah.
So he started doing stand-up or maybe even sketch comedy before that.
Right.
Sketch comedy first, then stand-up, then acting, then music. But Donald Glover has never done all those things at the same time.
Mm.
Also, I was thinking about another thing when you're talking about like real estate and space. There's a comedian, I hate that I can't recall who it was, but it's either like, freaking, I don't know. You guys look it up. You have Google.
I think it's Stephen Wright. He has a joke that goes, you can't have everything. Where would you put it? If you had it all, there's nowhere, physically, mentally, emotionally.
I like that.
There's no place to put everything. You can't have it all. And that's good.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing to not have it all.
And you don't get sick of it. Potentially. Hopefully. But truly. Potentially. Hopefully. Truly.
That's like Savage Garden's first cut of that song. Like truly, label. Madly, deeply. Nah. It doesn't have the same ring to it.
No, but seriously, like, I think it's hard because these are things that you don't think about until you can see it in hindsight.
Absolutely.
And I mean, it's frustrating because, like, in the moment, you want to understand it now.
I know. When you're in the midst of wanting, whether that's wanting a thing that you don't have physically or somebody else's trait or anything, what do you do in that moment when you feel like you're longing for something that you don't have?
I don't know if I have an answer to that. I don't know if I've found like a consistent thing that I do. I mean, I journal about it.
Yeah, I would say the same thing.
I don't know if that's necessarily the solution, but that's an activity that I do to question and dig in. This is kind of a tangent again. A funny thing that I read, I don't remember where, it was like,
I love that we like ingest a bunch of stuff. We're like, we have no clue what we just watched or read.
No, this is just like a random quote. The difference between a diary and a journal. A diary is just a list of things that you did that day, whereas like a journal is like, it's more thoughtful, like, and more introspective of why things happened.
Oh.
If that makes sense. In diaries, you just like list things.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I don't know if that's true. That's just what I read somewhere. But journaling.
That's like someone
cooler.
Defending. Did journals
yeah.
write that?
Yeah. I don't know. This is the journal's defense. But I'm an avid journaler, so I had to say that. Because, like, it's not a diary, it's a journal. No, but, like, it's important because, again, I might not have all the answers, but I write the questions that I have about how I'm feeling. So, like, I do reread things, and something will happen maybe, like, a week from then, and I'll remember that question I had because I'm like, wait, does this answer that? And, like, that's always a good feeling.
Yeah, I think journaling is a great idea. I was reading a journal of mine the other day, and this is funny because it also dealt with jealousy. I was very jealous at the time of this person in my life, and the person exited my life and now is in it again, but not in the same capacity. And like, I still have some of these feelings that I haven't dealt with yet. Just taking space helps so much. We got out of each other's lives and that was a godsend. That helps so much. But now that we're in each other's lives a little bit, it's like, okay, well now this feeling is still there. So how can I work on this jealousy? It's no longer screaming in my face because we're not in the same vicinity, but there is still an element of that. And what is that coming from? If we're talking about journaling, like things that I could do, maybe listing the qualities of what I am jealous of them for, qualities that you wish you had, and then write down maybe three ways in order to improve them for each of the qualities.
Yeah.
Whether it's like, oh, if I want to be more outgoing, then okay, three things I could do is like strike up a conversation with a stranger, or even at the very least, smile and make eye contact. Like that could be number one.
Well, here's my question though, because I think that that's a great notion. But what do you do when you're at a crossroads with, going back to this, how you perceive yourself versus how others perceive you? Because you could write down in your journal, oh, this person is really outgoing and like, I would like to be more outgoing. But other people could see you as really outgoing. So then, and just because other people see you as that might not necessarily mean that's what you are, but like there's something about you then that is outgoing because other people can see it. So then there's like a discrepancy then, like this disalignment, is that a word? I don't know, unalignment?
Sure.
You know, that
I'll take both.
That gap. And so then there's something we need to do to fill in that gap, I guess, because like we might be listing things that we already are.
I know.
And that we already have.
Bonkers.
And then going back to this whole scarcity, like maybe it's not scarcity. Like maybe it is, again, something you already have.
You just can't see it.
Yeah, and you haven't taken ownership of it yet.
Yeah. That's so fascinating. I don't know. I think that's good that you ask your close friends about the strengths, because then you know exactly, like, if that aligns with what you think your strengths are, then you have a good self-awareness, I guess. But I think sometimes we have not only body dysmorphia, but mental and emotional dysmorphia. We just like the same thing you said, we're never going to be able to see ourselves like other people see ourselves. But what's more important, how people see us or how we see ourselves? I think it's how we see ourselves.
Like maybe someone's constantly told that they're not humble, like that they have an ego, but you yourself, you don't believe that. So in that moment, you're like, well, it's more important what I think of me.
True. Well, someone that has a huge ego would say that.
It's true. Because in that, like, yeah, that lacks a little self-awareness. Whereas, like, someone can tell you multiple times a day that you're beautiful. But then, like, if you don't believe that, then...
Well, yeah, then it's like...
what the other person says is more important. I don't know.
Well, I think that if someone were to say something to you that you didn't believe in, you would either not believe them, you'd think they're lying, or you wouldn't be able to take it. You wouldn't be able to understand it. Be like someone speaking a different language.
Yeah.
That's why I think people generally are hard to take compliments, because maybe we don't see ourselves like that. If someone told you you're beautiful but you felt ugly that day, you'd be like, you'd either shrug it off, make a joke about it, or I don't know, do something else.
Self-deprecation.
Or self-deprecate.
That's me.
Right. But the thing is, like, as soon as we can go, like, this has happened lately. I felt a shift. The other day, two of my closest friends told me that I looked fit or healthy or something like that. And I was like, thank you so much. I've worked really hard. And I was like, not only did I take a compliment, I feel good because I didn't self-deprecate and I didn't deflect it, because I have worked so hard and I do feel healthy. So like the fact that I was aligned with what you guys were saying, like the feedback that you were giving me, I was already feeling internally. I was able to hear the compliment. Whereas if someone's like, hey, you're really good at speaking Italian, I'd be like, LOL, grazie mille. Like I don't speak Italian. So it'd be a huge joke.
Do you not?
It'd be a huge joke, or I would brush it off because that's untrue. It's incongruent with the reality.
Yeah.
But the fact is, if your reality internally is the same as what you are on the outside, then that's alignment. Is that the answer to the question, is to find alignment? Is that the only way to be able to deal with versions of ourselves that is internal and external?
But
I don't know. Like,
but then how do we, I mean, it,
how do we align?
Yeah. How do we align?
How much time do you
have? I mean,
there's,
this could go on forever. But I will say that, like, if we can get aligned, like, I think it does kind of at least answer a bit of that scarcity mentality, because then we start to acknowledge effort and hard work and the things that we have or are, and perhaps it gives us a little less to be jealous about.
If we can own up to the strengths that we already inherently have, and even the ones that we're working on, and turn a blind eye to when we feel, well, you know what? I don't want to say turn a blind eye, because I think looking at something is the first step in understanding what's behind that. So if you're jealous, you can create distance without turning your back on it. So create distance enough to look at it and go, okay, what's the note behind the note? I'm jealous. Why am I jealous? Now that I can understand the reason behind it, what do I do about it?
It's like, here I come with the stupid metaphors.
I can't wait. Okay, who said mine were dumb?
Okay, I didn't. You're right. Yours weren't actually. They just came out of left field. It's like having one of those extra long binocular, you know, that like
yes.
You pull it out and uh-huh. You just... It like gets really, really long. They're always like really funny.
It's
in
like
cartoons.
An Inspector Gadget.
Like
super,
yeah. So you can step really far back.
Oh yes.
But you're taking a very close look at the thing.
Yeah.
But you're very far away from it.
Yeah, it's got to be a telephoto lens.
Yeah.
It's got to be really
one of those. Yeah, like the paparazzi lens. Like you can get really far away, but you can see super close up.
Yeah, we got to see the pores on this jealousy. Yeah.
And then we got to get a black clay mask to put over it.
Yes. Pull immediately out all upsell the beauty products.
Pull out the gunk in those pores and then get a skin tightening mask.
Oh my God.
To then close those
pores.
Yeah,
it's pores. Two for one. You get a discount if you order both the clay mask and the skin tightening treatment.
Of course.
I think that's good. Okay, let's end this with one tip of advice on jealousy. We both get one tip. No, we'll end like this. Oh, did you have something to say?
No.
Okay.
I was just like,
three
stressed.
Words only. You only get three words to give a piece of advice on jealousy.
Okay. Journal, grace, kindness.
Okay.
Grace or space. Oops, that's four.
I think journal space kindness, because kindness and grace
kind of are the same. Yeah. Okay. So journal space kindness.
I like that. My three words are ask yourself why.
Are the three words supposed to go together?
Oh,
because you made a sentence.
I usually do. You want to do it again?
Mine was a hodgepodge.
You can do a hodgepodge.
Does it make sense? Journal space kindness.
That works.
Okay. You'll just have to figure it out for yourself.
Wait, I want to hear. Okay,
thread it. I didn't thread it together.
Just for me, I want to hear
the logic behind those three words.
No. I can understand.
Oh.
No. I can see where you went from A to B to Z. I want to hear if you had a sentence version of three words only.
Oh, I guess not the same.
I love it.
I get where I'm going with that. And I only think about that because I'm thinking about something you said earlier about, like, you know, you see someone have something and then, like, we try to get it and it just doesn't fit the same way.
It doesn't fit.
Or it might not feel the way for us as it did for them. It's a different thing because it's a different want. It's a different.
It's just a different body.
We're just two different people.
Yeah.
Like, I could want a job that my friend has, but it might not be for me. Not the same. Our millions of tangents today have led us
here. We got here.
We somehow got here.
If people want to hear more of just you without me involved, where can people find you on the internet?
I guess I'm most active currently on Instagram.
The gram.
At Suki Styles.
If you have children, you wrote a children's book?
Oh yeah. If you have children or if you just enjoy little collectibles, I do have a children's book for sale that will be on sale forever, I think. For as long as the internet lasts.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's called Life Lessons with Libra Ryan. It's illustrated by the incredible Naz Power. I wrote it to essentially have a children's book where I got to see someone like me as the lead, because you don't really get to see a lot of, like, little Asian kids as the main central figure in a little book.
And you say you don't contribute.
Yeah, that's my one contribution to the world so far.
For little Asian girls everywhere.
Little Asian girls everywhere. But it's a great read for girls and guys, and it's got a great message. But you can get that on lulu.com, or you can get it on Amazon. As if we haven't supported Amazon enough today.
Like, along with everything else that's on its way to your doorstep. Oh my God, we've all got problems. But that's why this podcast exists.
Exactly.
If you have a sticky situation or burning concern, call us at 805-751-9071. You give us your age and we will do the best we really can at the time we're doing it.
It also sounds like a rash cream. Sticky situation or like a burning.
Oh no! Oh my God, that is so yeasty of me.
So yeasty.
Oh, maybe I should change that. Huh. Anyway,
that's just because I'm over 30 and thinking about those things.
I know. That's literally me with fiber.
I don't think anyone at the age of 21 is like, oh.
Oh my God. All right. We'll see you next time on Just a Tip. Bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum podcast.